Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Tuesday. By the way, it's not Monday. I know when it's not Monday. Today is Tuesday. Don't forget that. So we welcome you to this program and to American Family Radio. I am Tim Wildman. Walker Wildman is in studio with us. Walker, good morning.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson, news director for OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you after a nice long weekend.
Yeah, three-day weekend. Mm-hmm. Who can complain about that? Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us, as he normally does, on Tuesdays and Thursdays from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was a quick weekend. I flew up to New Jersey. I was there for a Bible conference, spoke seven times, and got back late last night. So a whirlwind trip for us.
7 days and how long?
Or seven times between Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and then Labor Day morning, and then flew back yesterday.
I'm surprised you can even talk.
Well, my voice is a little bit froggy.
I can tell that a little bit. I mean, you're not hoarse, but you're a little
froggy.
I can tell you've talked a lot in the last 72 hours. Well, we got much to discuss today. Frank Turek will be joining us a little bit later on. Sandy Rios as well. Walker, what are we going to be doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, we're live streaming the show there, so you can go there, watch the show, comment on the show also as we broadcast. And secondly, all the articles that Fred talks about will be posted on our Facebook page. That's Today's Issues on Facebook. Lastly, if you want to listen to the show and you're not within one of our towers, the signal, one of our radio towers, you can listen 24/7. 365 days a year on your computer or your smartphone, your tablet device, by downloading the AFR app.
All right. Fred Jackson, what's up?
Breaking news right now. The Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, just announcing just moments ago that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, most people know it as DACA, that was brought in as an executive order by President Barack Obama. These are young people who were brought into this country by their parents illegally. So you got mom and dad coming into this country illegally. The kids were with them. When President Barack Obama was in office, he thought it was terrible that we would send these young people back now to Mexico, south of the border somewhere. And he issued this executive order that became known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It has been a political hot potato. And late last week, the White House announced that the president would have his decision today. It's actually just been announced by the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, that DACA is being rescinded. Now, we haven't been able to listen to the whole announcement yet, but the speculation is that as part of this announcement, as part of the White House initiative on this, that the president now is throwing this political hot potato to the legislators, the lawmakers, to Congress, to come up with something in law that deals with this rather than executive order. President Trump tweeting this morning to lawmakers, quote, get ready to do your job. Now, as I said, this has been a political hot potato. The president, when he was running for office, President Donald Trump, basically saying there's not going to be any amnesty for people, regardless of how they got here illegally, no amnesty. And so you're going to have a divided camp amongst Republicans. For instance, Laura Ingraham was on Fox and Friends this morning. She is one of those who basically says, no, these people should be sent back. This is what she had to say.
People who are as advanced in their age as the age of 36. We're talking about like 10 and 11-year-old kids. The median age of Dreamers is about 22, 23 years old. There are a lot of people around Donald Trump right now who are urging him, if you don't do this, they're going to think you're lacking in compassion. Yeah. And I know he watches this show, and what I will say to him is, remember how you won the presidency. You won the presidency by defying all of these conventional wisdom mongers and the usual suspects who are doing the bidding of big business, Silicon Valley, and all these other interest groups like, you know, La Raza and all the rest. You won by standing for the forgotten man of every background, of every creed, and of every religion. Those people need jobs. They need the government to do its job, right, which includes the rule of law. We don't rule by emotion. Right. We rule by law. So if Congress wants to push basically a de facto amnesty of a million people and think that somehow middle America is going to stand up and cheer, good luck.
All right. So what she was saying is no amnesty for these 800,000 so-called dreamers, these people who had come in as kids with their parents, and now they're 20, 25 years old. She's saying no amnesty because that's what you told the American people. But there are other very conservative voices, like former Speaker Newt Gingrich. He was also on Fox this morning. He says no. This move that's been announced this morning, DACA being rescinded, throw it to Congress to come up with a law that'll allow these people to stay. Newt Gingrich saying this morning, that's a wise, it's prudent, this is a good move by the president. So there you have it. And now he's throwing this to Congress. We'll see what's going to happen.
Well, so just to be clear what we're talking about here, he's rescinded something that was not any of the, that was not, shouldn't have ever been an executive order in the first place, right?
Correct.
So President Obama did this. We remember when he did this, most people. And in fact, President Obama, Ray, didn't do DACA because he worried about it being unconstitutional. Right. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. You know, part of the argument here, it's easy to get two different things mixed up. One is the question of what should an executive order be used for? And in there's pretty broad agreement that immigration law ought to be made by the Congress, not by the president, right? Mm-hmm. So in a sense, what Mr. Trump is saying, what the president is saying is, look, Congress, this is your job.
Right.
President Obama should never have done this executive order. Mm-hmm. I'm kicking it back to you. If you want to do some kind of amnesty or some kind of arrangement, that's up to you.
Right.
There's the other question of what do you do with the 800,000 who are here? That's we got to keep those two things separate, because I think from a constitutional point of view, what the president is doing is actually smart.
Yeah.
He's putting it back on Congress where it really belongs.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to say something here. It's going to make some people mad in our listening audience. Okay. But I want you, you mentioned there are different opinions on this, Fred, within
yes,
the
sir.
Conservative movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm open to having my mind changed on this. Okay.
This is your initial
reaction.
This is
my gut reaction. I got a problem with a child who's brought to the U.S. Not of their own volition, and their parents are here illegally, but they're 3 years old, they're 4 years old, they're 5 years old, whatever. And now they're 27 or 30. And you're going to ship them back to a land they've never known before? That just sounds cruel to me.
Well, you know, let me say, Tim, I think what you just said probably represents not everybody, but I would guess a majority of Americans look at the issue exactly that way. There's another question, Walker. What do you do?
Right.
First you have the legal question, and then
I'm the bleeding heart here in the room.
Well,
I guess
here's the thing. This is one of those things we the U.S. got ourselves into this mess. This right here is a mess. It's not like tax reform or anything else where it's just policy and money moving back and forth, where we're not really in a mess, but things could be better. This is a mess, and there's a lot of people involved. I don't know if you probably polled the American people, 80 to 90% would probably feel the same way Dad does, meaning, these kids, I don't know if we want to send them back. But the question is, okay, 80% of the American public is open to possibly giving these folks legal status where they can be be an American citizen, work, have no more hindrances. Maybe that there's some steps that they have to do to work their way to that position. But what do we do about if this is a continual problem and our borders are still open? What do you do about the other 100,000 who come in next month? Do we continually legalize people who break our immigration laws, whether they broke it intentionally or whether their parents broke it and brought them in here? So to me, I'm not even interested in talking about what we're going to do with these folks if we still have open borders. We still have open borders. I don't even want to talk about DACA. Right. I don't even want to talk about it because the borders are still open.
Right.
So that's my initial reaction.
Ray, what do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a first here. Walker is the hardliner. Tim is the bleeding heart. This has never happened to me before. Well, I think part of the problem, and Fred, I want to pitch it to you. I mean, what do you – let's say we take a tough stand, because you certainly can make the argument Walker just made that they shouldn't be here. That's a legitimate argument. How do you begin to round up 800,000 right. people? How do you enforce that, even if you do take a strong stand?
Yeah, I guess, you know, not to try to punt things, but I agree with Walker. It's a mess.
Right.
Yeah. And this goes back to Ronald Reagan. It goes back to Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. It goes to, and probably beyond even Ronald Reagan, to Jimmy Carter. This has been a ball kicked down the road for years and years and years. Yeah. Republicans and Democrats, they come into power, and 2011, President Barack Obama told a forum on Univision, the Hispanic network, "I can't do anything about this. The Constitution doesn't allow me to do right. anything about this."
He was right about that.
And he was right about He's that, right. but then he turns around and does it.
Right.
Right.
Because for political reasons. But, you know, this is where I agree with Walker. We have to close our borders. We have to have a secure border. But these are 800,000 that come under this heading of dreamers. We've got 11 to 12 million people living in this country illegally.
Yeah.
You can't round them up.
One thing before
you can't do it. You can't do it.
Right.
Logistically, you can't do it.
One thing before we bring in a guest, I just want to say this. Some people are vehemently, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
They're that much opposed to even considering legalizing people who are here illegally, whether they were brought here intentionally or as a child. I'm not there where I'm non-negotiable. I'm willing to negotiate how to handle these people and possibly give them legal status, making them work for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to begin that discussion without also beginning the closing the border discussion.
Yes.
Right. No, I agree. And this you're right, Walker. When you're talking about a lot of policy, you're talking about money or or inanimate objects or things like that. When you're talking about what we've been discussing here, you're talking about real people,
right?
Who have families and now I will say this too: we blame the administrations over the years for not dealing with illegal immigration, both Republican and Democrat, and Congresses as well. Mm-hmm. But you can also blame the people who came here illegally.
Yep,
they bear some responsibility. That's right. Mm-hmm. Too, because they knew they were coming here illegally. And sometimes when you break the law and then things happen as a consequence, they're not always pleasant.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to put some responsibility on the people who have come here illegally as well. as Walker said, I think we all can agree it's a mess with a capital N. Mm-hmm. But what the president has done today through the attorney general, I think, is the first right step, and that is Jeff Sessions just a few minutes ago announced that they are rescinding the Dreamers, what do you call it, DACA?
Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA.
Which should have never been instituted in the first place by President Obama. And the president, Trump, has said, no, Congress, you deal with this. It's your job now. So that gets that hot potato off his plate. Well, we have with us now Dr. Frank Turek, who's a host of Cross Examined on the weekends here. That's a radio program on the weekend on American Family Radio. He joins us now from, I guess he's at home in North Carolina. How you doing, Frank?
I am just great, gentlemen. And I just saw an article on this whole DACA thing that I think is pretty good by Andrew McCarthy. You guys know who he is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's over at National Review, and he just points out how DACA, as you've already been mentioning, is unconstitutional. But his other point is this. It obviously has to go back to Congress to actually have some sort of legal status, because the way it was done through Obama was unconstitutional. But his point is this. One of the points he makes in here is that the executive branch only has a finite number of resources to enforce the law. And it's if there's a child out there who's now an adult, as you said before, Tim, who commits a crime and is also an illegal alien, well, then they may enforce the law to deport that individual, but the government doesn't have the resources right now, or maybe not even the will, to go after 800,000 people, most of whom are law-abiding citizens. But they can use the... If the person does commit a crime, they can use the fact that they're an illegal alien to extradite them or deport them.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Dr. Frank Turek. Frank, switching gears, I wanted to ask you, Steve Jordahl. Steve, just hold on a second, Frank. Steve Jordahl, you going to have some sound from Attorney General Jeff Sessions in just a few minutes, or we have it now?
We have it.
Okay. We might have it for you in this half hour here. I'm not in charge of the technicals on that, but it's here. It's in.
Okay, well, let us know. I've got something else I want to ask Frank about. Folks, you're getting to see behind the scenes here today. Today's issues. We're just taking care of our business on the radio live. So, Steve, tell me when you got that
We'll
ready.
I'll give you the
and
thumbs
how
up.
Long it is, too.
I'll give you the thumbs up. Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Frank, I wanted to talk to you. I sent you an article half an hour ago, and it's very—it's what's happening in the UK. And the article report is how the UK is going atheist, basically, and that Christianity, which is UK is historically Christian, is going. The religious beliefs there are going way down. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what do you have the numbers I sent you, Frank?
Yeah, I do. In fact, this article off the BBC, it's an interesting article. The title of it is More Than Half of UK Are Non-Religious, Suggests Survey. Just came out today. And particularly among those who are 18 to 25, says that they are 71% of them say they have no religion. Now, they did say in this article that doesn't necessarily mean they're atheists, but they don't associate with any traditional religion. You know, typically many people say, well, I'm spiritual, but that's it, you know, that kind of thing. And I think part of the problem in the UK in particular is the fact they've had this established national church that people have found, I guess, to be something they're not interested in just because it appears to be part of the government. And I remember when I was there back in 2010, we went to... St. Paul's Cathedral, which is just a famous cathedral there, right there in London. We went to the Sunday morning services. Now, when Spurgeon preached in that church, there were, I don't know, 10,000 people inside and 10,000 people outside. When we were there, there were 40 people inside.
Are you serious? In
yeah.
this big cathedral? Yeah, cathedrals yeah. in Europe now have become just museums.
That's right.
Is all they are. But I guess the reason I pointed this out, it was the millennials there, 70%+ of them said they didn't believe... or they were not religious anymore. Mm. Whether they're atheist, I think most of them are atheist, mm-hmm. even though maybe not all of them are atheist. Although I don't know if you're non-religious, what are you besides an atheist or right. an agnostic? But my concern is sometimes you see the trends that happen, especially in Europe, finally come to North America, and
right.
I include Canada, and I don't know what Canada's situation is. Is it much like Europe, Fred?
Very much like Europe.
So we see Christianity dying in Europe. And that's where Christianity was spread around the world from, mm-hmm. for the most part, is Europe. And the Church of England is, that's a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. It's mm-hmm. they're embracing transgenderism mm-hmm. now. So, if you see what's happening here, Fred and Frank to Ray to the mainline denominational churches. Ray, you want to comment on this too? You see what's happening here is reflective almost of what's happening in Europe.
Well, this is what happens when you know, as they say, when you marry the spirit of this age, you become a widow in the next, and that's what's happened to the Church of England and the mainline denominations as they have moved away from biblical authority or any semblance of what we call traditional Christian teaching. They did it thinking they would attract more people. Mm-hmm. But Frank, as the statistics point out, when you turn away from truth, people actually leave the church. They're not attracted to it.
Exactly. And in fact, one person in this article that Tim sent, who was interviewed, who started out in an Indian religion but now considers himself more of an atheist, said this: most religions have good basic principles. I want to stop right there. Because when the person uses the word good, that presupposes a standard. And if atheism's true, there is no standard other than the person's personal opinion. There is no objective good. See, this is one of the problems that people have when they dispense with God, is they steal principles from God while claiming he doesn't exist. What does good mean if there's no God? It's just your opinion. I mean, if there's no God, there's no difference between Hitler and Mother Teresa, not from an objective sense. I mean, obviously, we may like Mother Teresa better, but there's no goodness if there's no God, because by definition, what we mean by good is God's nature. Otherwise, everything's just reduced to human opinion. So even in this article, people who are claiming to be atheists are using terms and concepts that would only exist in an objective sense if God exists, and they're using these terms when they're saying God yep. doesn't exist. So they're stealing from God while they're arguing against him, which is the subject of my most recent book called Stealing from God.
Yeah, tell us how to get that book.
They can go anywhere, find books are sold, and if they go to their bookstore and it's not there, it just means it's sold out again.
Okay, well,
I like it, Frank. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it. I know what you're talking about. The New York Times deal, probably.
That's right.
But I want to ask, because I read about that last night, about conservative authors getting tired of the New York Times ignoring them, so they're just mm-hmm. doing away with them, Regnery Publishing. Mm-hmm. That's a sidetrack. I want to ask you, where so I can go to your website, cross-examine?
Yeah, you can go to cross-examine.org, click on store, you can get it there. Of course, it's available on Amazon.
What's the name of it?
Crossexamined.org.
No.
The name of the book is called Stealing from God. It's not about tithing. The subtitle is Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And that's one of the points we make in the book, is the fact that people are always talking about good and bad, but there's no objective good or bad unless God exists, because he is the standard of good.
People want, to your point, people want the fruits of Christianity mm-hmm. for society. Mm-hmm. Without having to have Christianity.
In fact, that's exactly right. I had this situation in Dallas a couple years ago, Tim. I was at a book table, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "You got any books on Buddhism?" I said, "Why?" She said, "Because my friend was a Christian, just became a Buddhist." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Has your friend started doing something that Christians would consider immoral?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You don't need a book on Buddhism. She's not interested in, she's not a Buddhist because she thinks it's true. She just wants spirituality without moral accountability." That's really what's going on here.
Yeah.
The issue isn't truth. She's not on a truth quest. She's on a happiness quest.
Right. Right. You just described Europe and North Americans, by the way.
Well, all of us to a certain extent are doing
true.
That, though.
True.
We're suppressing the truth to go our own way. We do it all sometimes. It's true.
All right. So you, who are you having on your show this weekend?
I'm going to have somebody spellbinding. I just don't know who that is yet.
Well, I haven't got the invitation, so.
Huh? How about them Panthers, Tim?
Panthers, are they coming up this weekend, right?
They are. How about those? You're Mississippi State, right?
Yeah, I am.
They won big.
Ding, ding,
didn't
ding,
they?
Ding, 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 ding. Hear the cowbell.
They won big, didn't they?
Yes, they beat Charleston Southern.
Woo! That was a tough one.
That yeah. was
matchup.
Next up, Alabama.
No disrespect to Charleston Southern, by the way, who tried as hard as they could. They were just outmanned. Hey, thanks, Frank. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Great being with you. God bless.
Hey, it was a great weekend for college football, by the way.
Watch the Alabama game.
Yeah, Alabama and Florida State. All right, we'll be back with Sandy Rios coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope on their outreach to Hurricane Harvey survivors.
Disasters bring an opportunity for you and I not just to talk about Jesus, but to show Jesus. The best sermon I ever heard is the one I saw. People need to see Jesus in action.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I know the first time I ever went to Israel, you land there in Tel Aviv, you get off the plane, you get out on the bus, you start driving through the plains of Sharon outside of Tel Aviv, and you just pinch yourself and you just say, am I really here? Am I really in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible? Or was this just a fairy tale I read about as a child? No, it's a real place. The Bible is true historically and, as we know, spiritually. So if you want to join us on this trip to the place where you pinch yourself, we're going in March 8th through the 16th. All the information is available at the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a free brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES. Option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. A Georgia high school teacher made two students leave her classroom after they wore shirts adorned with the words, "Make America Great Again." The teacher at River Ridge High School in Cherokee County, Georgia, compared the pro-Trump slogan to a swastika and neo-Nazis. An enterprising student filmed the teacher's outburst, which you can watch on toddstarnes.com. After the video went viral, the school district stepped in and apologized. They say the students will not be punished. That's all well and good, but what about the teacher? She compared the atrocities committed by the Nazis to the patriotism of young Americans. That means she's either woefully ignorant of World War II history, or she actually believes those who want to make America great again are just like the Nazis. Either way, the math teacher at River Ridge High School is unfit to teach in a public school classroom. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and Fred Jackson. Walker, what have you posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I posted the National Review article by Andrew C. McCarthy,
right,
which just talks about the illegal immigration problem and what is constitutional, what should be done. It goes into depth on that. And then I posted a couple other articles. I posted the article from the UK about 50% of the UK population identifies with no religion or
right,
as atheist.
That seems to be rising, and 70% of millennials in the UK say they have no religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we bring that up is because a lot of times, as we mentioned, Fred, trends that start in Europe end up in North America.
It's very interesting. The woman who is head of the Episcopal Church for many years, Catherine Jeffords Shurey, you can go on YouTube and watch this. She stated at a meeting while she was the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA that, according to her, there are many ways to God, that God listens to the Hindus.
Well, that makes me want to go to her church right
Buddhists.
There.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So do you wonder why they're losing members? Ray, if you don't believe in anything, as evidenced by this, is this an Episcopal?
Catherine Jeffords Shurey, she just retired as the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA.
Right, if you don't believe in anything, why don't you expect people to come to your churches?
Well, you know, they have fallen into these liberals have fallen into the idea, if they move away from orthodoxy,
right,
they will attract more people. When, in fact, every single study, without exception, shows the reverse to be true. The only churches that are growing in America today are those that are holding to the Bible, holding to the gospel and finding ways to make that understandable to the masses. I mean, it's the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that are growing. And this is the reason why the liberal churches are shrinking, not just in America, but in Canada and in Europe, because they have moved away from God's truth.
Yeah. If you proclaim that all roads lead to God, or, you know, those kinds of things.
I might as well stay in bed.
Stay in bed. You know, yeah.
I'm okay the way I am.
Right. It doesn't matter then whether you go to church or not.
Well, if you believe in a God who doesn't care how you come to him.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm good with that.
Right. Right. So no wonder these liberal churches are losing members in droves. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We want to welcome Sandy Rios to the program. Sandy joins us most Tuesdays that she's available. She's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, also here on AFR. And she's also director of governmental affairs for us at the American Family Association, meaning she is our liaison to the things that are happening in our nation's capital. And Sandy joins us now. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Sandy, Fred's going to play a clip now from Attorney General Jeff Sessions this morning, and then we're going to get you to react to it, and maybe we'll discuss it. This has to do, Fred, you'll set this up?
Yeah, this has to do with the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. President Barack Obama called them the Dreamers. These are people, young people, who were brought into this country many years ago. Their parents crossed the border illegally, and they took them by the hand, took these little kids. These kids now are 25, 27, 30 years old. And President Barack Obama said, well, we're just going to let them sit here in this country because they're young people and they don't know any other countries. Well, this morning, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that DACA is being rescinded. It was an executive order from President Barack Obama. So let's have a listen to the complete announcement now from Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Okay. Good morning. I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The DACA program was implemented in 2012 and essentially provided a legal status for recipients for a renewable two-year term, worker authorization, and other benefits, including participation in the Social Security program, to 800,000 mostly adult illegal aliens. The policy was implemented unilaterally to great controversy and legal concern after Congress rejected legislative proposals to extend similar benefits on numerous occasions to this same group of illegal aliens. In other words, the executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. As Attorney General, it is my duty to ensure that the laws of the United States are enforced and that the constitutional order is upheld. This does not mean they are bad people or that our nation disrespects or demeans them in any way. It means we are properly enforcing our laws as Congress has passed them. Acting Secretary Duke has chosen appropriately to initiate a wind-down process. This will enable the Department of Homeland Security to conduct an orderly change and fulfill the desire of this administration to create a time period for Congress to act, should it so choose.
Well, very interesting. That's consistent with the President. Sandy, that's consistent with what the President promised during the campaign, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he said he was going to rescind it, and I think that the only thing that's different is that they're clarifying it. They're making it really clear that the president, as in Obama, never had the right to do that. He didn't have the constitutional right to, with a sweep. What he just said, he spoke it into existence. I said that on the show this morning. He didn't, as far as I know, ever sign anything. He just said he wanted it, and the departments began to implement it. And it was an act of lawlessness. And I think sometimes we forget how traumatic that was. That's when Mitch McConnell came out, you know, we're going to do away with all of Obama's executive orders. You know, they all claimed that they were outraged and they were going to do something about it. Well, this part of DACA was part of that, and they did nothing. So now here they have managed to convince even people who were concerned at first that DACA somehow this sweet, wonderful program helping these poor, innocent kids. And you have to understand, well, first of all, there are so many things that could be said. I just came back from Scotland, as you guys know. And I have to tell you, my daughter-in-law can't work in Scotland. My son can do very few jobs. He can only work at the university. If you review the law in Mexico, the laws about who can own property, who can, I mean, their laws on immigration or on people, illegal people living, even people visiting, foreigners, are unbelievably strict. If you studied the laws of most countries, you would find that they all kind of think you ought to have some laws and that citizens should have preference over or for people who aliens who come from a foreign country. Everyone acts that way except for the U.S. now. And somehow we've reached this silly stage where we think we can welcome every single person from the entire universe, give them Social Security, driver's licenses, bring their parents in, their relatives, which is what DACA does also. And the list goes on. And we have to pull this back to what the law states. And the law does not allow for that. What Barack Obama did was illegal. So President Trump, with the voice of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, has now said, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen constitutionally. And the Congress now has 6 months to make a decision. So,
Sandy, it's Fred here. What do you think Congress is going to do?
Well, I tell you what. Okay, my diabolical mind says that there's no way they can stop it. There's no way they can reinstate it. And the reason I say that, Fred, is because if you look at the legislative calendar, which I'm sure you've been hearing stories about this, they have so few days in session. The 2018 election's coming up. They don't want to do anything, you know, controversial. And do you know that their base does not want this? They don't want this. They want immigration law to be enforced. And they understand that it's having a terrible economic effect on the country in other ways, too. So if they dare to step out of line on this and reinstate it legislatively, then they have to go back to their districts and run for office. And that combined with the legislative calendar, that's just untenable. I don't think they'll pass anything.
Sandy, I think this is going to be hilarious. And here's why. Your prediction, I think, is right. I don't think Congress is going to do anything. But let's just say somehow they find the time to do something, muster up a bill which gives everybody amnesty, which they've tried before, the Gang of Eight. What's going to be funny is, and I say funny, I'm being sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek here, is they've been complaining about how busy they are, they can't do the budget in regular order, they just don't have enough days, our schedules are so busy. But watch them. Paul Ryan's going to rush to put together an amnesty bill for these folks. If he does, that'll prove he can do things and get things done if he wants to. And so that'll be interesting to see if he does.
Yeah, and Walker, in a normal world, attention would be paid to that, and that would be magnified. And it will be on our shows. We'll talk about that. but the rest of the country won't. They'll be clueless. I do think, you know, if Paul Ryan's committed to this. You have to understand, Paul Ryan, again, traveled the country with Congressman Luis Gutierrez, the leftist socialist congressman from Chicago who's for open borders. Paul Ryan and he are buddies on this issue, not just DACA, but amnesty. Mm-hmm. And he's joined at the hip with that whole cause. So I wouldn't doubt it if he does try to push this through. But then, of course, then they've got to face the election in 2018.
Right.
So Sandy, what happens at the end of 6 months if, as you're suggesting, Congress tries to get into this and can't do anything, then do we just revert back to the way it was before before Obama's pronouncement?
Yes, because Ray, there's no law about this. The whole implementation was fantasy. Mm-hmm. It should never have happened. The millions of dollars, I don't know. Now, look, if you're asking me, are we going to take their driver's licenses back? Are they going to be fired from? I don't know how that's going to work out. And that's probably part of what the Congress has to. I don't know who's going to make that decision, but there will be a lot of work to do to sort this out. But let me just also remind you guys, remember that we have had a problem. I think you remember this. of young men coming across the border from all over the place, whether they're from South America, Mexico, or the Middle East, and claiming to be kids, claiming to be DACA. And there's no history on them, so they can claim that.
No, they can self-identify, Sandy. You can self-identify.
Yeah.
If you're 27 and you feel like you're 6, you just tell them, hey, I'm self-identifying as a 6-year-old.
That's right. That's right.
And I don't know where I came from.
Right.
Yeah. And my parents brought me here illegally. And, you know, you can say, why can't you make that up? Right. Who has the records? Just asking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
This nonsense has actually been going on.
Well, you can thank President Obama first and foremost for this mess. Because, as you say, Sandy, and as President Obama once said, basically, I can't do this because it's unconstitutional.
Yes, right.
And then he
turned around and did it.
Then he turned around and did it anyway. When he learned that there was no consequences for acting unconstitutionally, he did a lot of things.
That was also, he needed to get reelected, and he needed to get elected first, just like he changed his views on marriage.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, yes.
Well, but Walker, the only tweak I'd say to that comment is that he's doing what he really wants to do. He's not doing it just
absolutely.
To get. Yeah, I mean, he does want to open the borders because.
Yeah.
You know why he wants
but,
to transform
but to get
this
elected
country.
In 2008, he doesn't need to go in saying I want to open the borders. He needs to go in and say, well, it's unconstitutional.
Right.
Not
oh, yeah,
sure
yeah,
if
yeah,
I can
sure.
do it.
Yes.
Then he gets in office and he does it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One other question, Sandy, have for you before we let you go. You got the. September, Walker, we were in a meeting this morning, and Walker said September, as far as Washington, D.C. goes, is about to get ugly, probably, because of what's all on the plate, and that is you've got the debt ceiling vote, you've got funding for the Texas, Louisiana,
Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got also the continuing resolution. Yeah, you've got... It's a continuing resolution that they'll have to vote on coming up in the next few weeks, which is, I don't know. Maybe it won't get ugly. Maybe if President, I think this is the real test for President Trump, though. If he's unwilling to veto the continuing resolution, if it doesn't have things he wants in there, like the border funding, for example, border wall funding, I think this is going to be a real test for whether President Trump is going to really battle the swamp or he's going to give in.
You're probably right, Tim. And then the thing that concerns me is that he's sort of isolated in the White House now, honestly. There are some good people around him,
right.
but a lot of the good people are not there to talk in his other ear. He's got a lot of people speaking in one ear and not the other. And I honestly don't know how this is going to come down, except I would say that I do think it's going to get very ugly. I think that there's, for one thing, really, it sounds like we're shouting... fire in a theater all the time, but I have to say that our financial circumstances in this country are absolutely dire. But everybody pretends like, oh yeah, let's give billions to this. Oh no, now we have to give, and it's like they outdo each other trying to be charitable, whether it's the Dreamers or it's the people of Houston. And it's not a matter of being charitable. It's a matter of you can't give money you don't have, or you can't give away money that is feeding your children. Let's put it that way. And we are at the point where we're about Social Security, Medicare, all the entitlement programs, pensions are just about to go under. And it's going to implode. At some point, it's going to implode.
Well,
and the games have to stop.
Well, I would just say get your house paid off as fast as you can.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree.
Sometime in the next 5 to 10 years, if the law of economics apply to the United States of America, there's going to be a day or days of reckoning. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it so much. So where can people you can listen to American Family Radio here, Sandy, in the morning from 7 to 8 Central Time on American Family Radio. And your Facebook page is what?
Sandy Rios in the morning. Sandy Rios in the morning.
R-I-O-S.
And they can. I also tweet things sometimes that I don't. That don't end up elsewhere, and it's at Sandy Rios Tweet if people want to follow me there, at Sandy Rios Tweet.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios. Sandy, has been with us now for a few years, and she does a wonderful job in the morning on the radio for us, and as you can see, how intelligent she is and how full of conviction she is, both a biblical conviction and she loves America, and she represents us in our nation's capital, and we're so proud to be have Sandy as our spokesperson. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, you've heard a lot about the Ark with Answers in Genesis, our good friends there, and then they've got the Creation Museum. Something else you might want to be aware of as you travel the country, especially if you're going to central Mississippi, and that is something called Promised Land Journey. And joining us to talk about it is Pastor Bill Freeman, who's founder of Promised Land Journey Tabernacle. Pastor Bill, how are you doing?
Doing good this morning, Tim, Walker, Fred, and Ray. Pray that you're doing well also.
Hey, I'm impressed you remembered all our names.
Wow.
Hey, tell us about this, Pastor. I know I've talked to you before, and Wesley, my son, talked to you earlier. But you got a little gem there in Collinsville, Mississippi. Is that where you're located?
Yes, sir. We're about 6 miles north of Collinsville's a big metropolitan place with one four-way stop, and we're about 6 miles north.
So you're a suburb of Collinsville, Mississippi?
We're a suburb, and we're halfway between Meridian and Philadelphia.
So you're not Philadelphia, PA, by the way.
No.
Okay,
no.
For those outside the state of Mississippi, and you say Philadelphia, they're thinking Pennsylvania. So you're halfway between Meridian, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, Mississippi. And folks can look that up if they want to. But tell us what you've done there in that small community.
Well, we've got a 6,000 square foot facility that is 12 months as far as heating, cooled, and handicap accessible, and we've got a full size model of the tabernacle that God had Moses to build in the wilderness. And what I do with that is I take groups through, and I show them actually Jesus in each piece of the tabernacle so they can see him in the gate, as John 10:9, that he's the gate, and those who come through it obtain salvation. At the altar, I show both the cross and the altar because they're both a place of death to self. We're of Romans 12:1 to be a living sacrifice. And then the lavers, this sanctification process that we're all involved in as Christians, and the screen that we enter by grace, and then the menorah, he's the light of the world, table of showbread, that he is John 6, the bread of life, and
okay.
The altar of incense where he's...
Here's the website for Pastor Bill's Promised Land that we're going to get more into this, which you can visit. It's called www.promiselandjourney.com.
.org.
Well, on
O-R-G.
Your somebody misprinted it on your brochure.
Oh Lord!
Do you know that? I'm serious. Do you know that?
No.
I've got your handout here right in front of me, and it says .com.
.org.
You might want to get your money back from you.
Well, I appreciate
from somebody.
It. Yeah.
PromiseLandJourney.org.
Yes.
Is the website. Now, you built this with your own hands?
Yeah, so I was I was a building contractor in my first life, and the Lord, he had another spiritual vocation for me, but I had built this facility, and then we built the models. I had a man in the church that helped me do some of the work on the models. And we built this tabernacle. We have two dioramas, one of Jerusalem in the first century with the mountains, the Mount of Olives, Kidron Valley, Mount Moriah, Tarothin Valley, and the Mount Zion. And then we have in all of the buildings, Temple Mount and the Golgotha and on the north pinnacle of Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a diorama of the entire Middle East, from just west of the Nile River to the Persian Gulf and Caspian Sea in the northeast. And all the primary thing is to show how large the promised land is, according to Genesis 15:18.
Yeah, it's a 6,000-foot indoor museum that you created, that you built, including handcrafted models of Jesus' tomb, your handicap accessible, seating provided. You do guided tours. Do you do them yourself?
Yes, sir. Takes about an hour and a half if I go through all of the scripture to do with the
right.
The tabernacle and the city of Jerusalem.
All right.
And from
here's the again the website to read all about this. It's he's located, Pastor Bill's. It's called Promised Land Journey, and he's located between Meridian and Philadelphia, Mississippi. If you go to the website promiselandjourney.org, promiselandjourney.org, you can read all about it. What's your phone number if people want to call you?
601 area code 986-8839.
601-986-8839. Ray, do you have a question for
Pastor Ray Pritchard? Yeah. Here, I want to congratulate you on this. This is a marvelous accomplishment, a huge gift to students of the Bible. Christians everywhere need to know about this. And I'm looking on your website and seeing the pictures. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing you've done. I have two things I want to ask you. Number one, how did you, we have descriptions in the Old Testament. How did you decide how to design what the table of showbread should look like, or what the Ark of the Covenant should look like? And on the larger question, just say a word about, somebody may hear this and go, well, why should I even care? That's Old Testament. That's the tabernacle. Why is it important for Christians to understand this?
Well, I'll answer that last question first. This whole facility and everything built in it really speaks of Jesus, and I just have a heart toward glorifying Him and magnifying Him, and pray that that's what's accomplished. Plus, it's very evangelistic. I know one of Tim's favorite sites as he leads people to Israel is Golgotha, the Garden Tomb. They're close together. And I do an actually evangelistic presentation there where people can accept Jesus as their Savior at that point. As far as the production of especially the tabernacle, we have the measurements of all the furniture except two, the laver and the menorah, but we have with the menorah, it had seven branches and it weighed a talent in weight of gold. I built my menorah really similar to the one that stands in front of the Knesset, and I'm sure in Tripp's, Tim's, got postcards of that one. Well, this one looks similar to that. So what I did was, as much as I could, I stayed to the biblical thread of this whole thing.
Talking to Pastor Bill Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, founder of Promised Land Journey Tabernacle. Amazing what he's done there with this in the middle of central Mississippi. What's the website again?
It's promisedlandjourney.org.
And thank you, Bill. We appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Bless you, and thank you for having me on. Enjoy your program. Listen every day.
Thank you, Brother Bill. He's pastor of the Covenant Life Church and has been for 18 years. So he must have been doing something right. Been pastor of the same church for 18 years. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.